Our second reading tonight is from the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Jesus speaking, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Here ends the reading. Lord, we thank you for your word, how it guides us, protects us, teaches us, and corrects us. And thank you for your presence in it. May your word come alive for us and speak to our hearts. Amen. In our readings tonight, Paul, writing to the people of Corinth, says, "Be reconciled to God." One sentence there, but wow, does it say a lot. To be reconciled to God. Reconciliation would involve mending a relationship, perhaps, where you have groups of people or else a couple of individuals that have come to a disagreement or one has wandered off. But to be reconciled is to be brought back together, to restore the relationship, to be reconciled. And we need that with God, not only during Lent, but quite often. When we realize we've strayed, we should confess, repent, come back to him, be reconciled to him. Sort of like that prodigal son parable, but we're the prodigal son, right? We wander off, and he's there waiting, and he sees us coming. He just opens up his arms for a big old hug, welcome back. And we can be reconciled to him, because he is faithful to forgive and abounding in steadfast love. Like I've said before, sometimes we feel closer to God, sometimes we feel further away. And that's true. But we have to remember who moved. It wasn't God. He's a rock, right? He is steadfast. And we wander, we stray, and we find our way back, and we can become reconciled with him. And Jesus has made that possible in a special way. It says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Righteousness is not something we can achieve on our own. We're not good enough. We're human. We're going to screw up. It's going to happen. We're going to sin. But Jesus paid that price, right? He became sin for us. He paid that price and made us worthy, made us righteous, worthy to approach the very throne of God. God is perfect. God is holy. And nothing imperfect can exist in his presence. We wouldn't have a chance. We couldn't exist in his presence. But Jesus made that way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to Father except by him, by what he has done in taking our sin upon himself to make us worthy to come before God and to be reconciled to him. So all glory to him for that. We thank you, Jesus. The second part of Paul's reading here reminds me of how easy we have it. He goes into a list here, and he does other places in his writings as well. It talks about the things that he's suffered. In troubles, hardships, and distresses, beatings, imprisonments, riots, hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, the list goes on. We've got it easy compared to this. If you're watching the news recently, they're over in Africa. 70 Christians are beheaded for their faith. You don't see it on the major network for some reason. It happened. Giving all that they had for God. Staying faithful to the very end. Being martyred. Wow. Paul went through a lot as well. And we don't. What do we give up? Well, in Lent we can give things up. It's a wonderful time to get our focus back onto God. To give some things up. We're not like those 70 people giving up our very lives, perhaps. We're not like Paul giving his whole life for that. I mean, think about that. He could have had just an easy life, you know, making tents and doing his thing. And instead, he gave it all up to be beaten, to be persecuted, to go hungry, to go sleepless, all these things as he traveled preaching the gospel. Our lives pale in comparison. At least mine does. So giving up something for Lent is just, it's a small thing compared to what some have given up. But it's worthwhile. To give up something for Lent. It's a tradition that goes way back. But to turn our focus back onto God and away from these other things. Maybe giving up meat like some do, okay? Maybe fasting. That's wonderful. If your health allows for it, go for it. Maybe it's fasting from something other than food. Is there something that's distracting us from God? Are we spending time on other things instead? For some people, I would suggest, you know, distracting them from God, right? I see them all the time. Just okay, we can use it for good purposes, though, too. We can send people Bible verses. We can encourage others, right? And let us use it as a weapon for good. But is there something that's getting between you and God? Something that could be removed during this time of Lent? Something to ponder. In the gospel today, we had also heard about how we should conduct ourselves and how we should live. Jesus gives three examples here. And in these, what really matters is the motive. He's talking about why people do something. Why should we give up something for Lent? Well, to honor God, right? Why do we do things? To honor God, not to seek honor or glory for ourselves. And that's what he's telling the Pharisees here in these readings today. When you give, do not make a big deal out of it, right? But do it quietly and secretly. That's one thing I like about our offering boxes. You can just sort of slide in there and, you know, give your offering. And it's sort of like that old saying here is, you know, character is what you are when no one's watching, or what you do when no one's watching. As Christians, our character, who we are and what we do, is because of the new creation that we are in Christ, right? We are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new is come. And that new person that dwells within us, that spirit-filled person, is going to want to do good to others. Not to earn anything, but because of who we are in God. Similarly, in praying here, some of the people would make a big production out of their praying. He said, no, go away to a quiet place. And that's what Jesus did quite often, right? Quite often, he went to a quiet place. He would go out into the wilderness. He would go up on a mountain. He'd get a place that's free of distractions where he could just relate to God, to come before him. Now, there is praying with others, which is wonderful, too. Our intercessory prayer group on Thursday, for example, or maybe other times you've got together to pray with people. And that's great. That's not what he's talking about here. Here he's talking about doing things for the wrong reason. And praying with others is great. Praying for others and praying over others. If you lay hands on someone and pray over them, it's a very powerful thing. Again, that's not what he's talking about here. But doing things for the right reason, for the right motive, it matters. Doing it with a thankful heart, right? Giving our offerings with a thankful heart. Praying with a thankful heart. Fasting with a thankful heart. That God would be glorified. And thirdly, he talks about fasting then. He mentioned giving, praying, and fasting. All these, the common thread throughout, is doing it for the right reason. So not to attract attention when you're fasting, but just to do it before God, to honor him. Fasting is common throughout all the Old Testament and the Gospels. Jesus said, you know, he didn't say if you fast, he said when you fast. Pharisees had taken it to an extreme. They would publicly fast 2 days a week, make a big deal out of it, that this is what I'm doing. No, it's a quiet time with God. Now, they can certainly fast with others too. We see that in the Old Testament. You know, someone would, a prophet or a king would declare a fast where everybody would join together in fasting to honor God and to hear from him. That's one of the great things about fasting. If you ever try it, you really get to sort of hear more clearly from God. And when your thoughts turn to food or whatever you're fasting from, instead turn them in prayer to God. So it sort of redirects us back to him. And that prayer and fasting, very, very powerful. Jesus mentioned that, right? Some things can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. The two go together in a very deep way. So I would encourage you, also, if your health allows to fast, maybe not from food, but from other things too. But again, for the right reason, because the motive matters. And that's, again, the thread that runs through all this. All right, finally, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, because this earth is only temporary. And we remember that on Ash Wednesday, that from dust we were formed, and to dust we shall return. But the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. The things of God are eternal. This life is temporary. This body is temporary. Everything around us, the earth will be destroyed by fire, it tells us in the letter of Peter. And that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, it tells us in Revelation 21. And we look forward to that. That new heaven, that new earth, where we as believers can exist with God, that he will make his dwelling among us. He'll be our God and we'll be his people. There will be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more suffering. It's just, it's heaven, literally. And as those who have received Christ, we get to be a part of that. But in the meantime, we're here on earth. And we have to sort of keep our heart and our mind on things above there, by looking forward to the future rather than just what's around us. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let our hearts be, you know, with God. Let us honor him in what we say and what we do. Let our lives point to him. Lent is a time for self-examination. Where is your heart? If it's in the wrong place, let's get it right. Be reconciled to God, right? Restore that relationship. And do the right thing for the right reason, finally. And do all to the glory of God. Amen.